Well, good morning and welcome to the Paul Molitor Show. Jack Morris is off. He's got some all-star duties he's attending to for Major League Baseball in Cincinnati. I'm Chris Atterbury. Paul Molitor is here as well as we get set for another edition of the Paul Molitor Show. If you'd like to join us here on the final Paul Molitor Show before the break, well, you can call us at 877-38-TWINS. That's 877-388-9467. Again, it's 877-38-TWINS if you'd like to join us here today. Paul is in studio. We've got multiple producers on the other side of the glass for us here today as this is our final chance to chat with the Twin Skipper before the All-Star break. And Paul, first of all, good morning. You're in good company, traveling in good company today.
Good morning to you. Sunday is always fun around here. I got Julia and Ben with me this morning. They're out here helping out and looking forward to a good last day here, the first half, and hopefully ended on a good note.
Speaking of ending on a good note, we've ended a couple of games on very good notes this week. It has been an unbelievable week here at Target Field in terms of the team's effort, and it takes all 25, but obviously Brian Dozier has been front and center on a couple of these phenomenal moments. You've been around the game a long time. Have you seen a guy have a week like that just in terms of having the spotlight, the focus with all the voting situation, and then rising to the occasion when presented with those opportunities?
Well, I think I'd have to really comb the memory bank to try to find something that would be comparable. You know, it's been a stretch of games, including the 4th of July weekend in Kansas City, that were just, you know, knockdown, dragouts. We got walked off a couple times. But to come back home and for these guys to understand, it would be really easy to have a little bit of a mental letdown heading into the break. Instead, they've turned it up a notch and have played a really good week of baseball. And led by our guy, you know, ironically, who was kind of the center of the storm in terms of all-star voting and process and all those things, and he's the guy who steps up and has really had some amazing at-bats and amazing hits and very dramatic, and it's been a very exciting week for us.
I told Sean Harlan it should have been him in the center of the storm after that replay on the replay challenge on the stolen base, and I asked if anybody dumped a cooler on him. He said no.
You know, that was I'm glad that went in our favor. I almost foolishly robbed Twins fans of a very historical finish by making a decision that turned out to be sketchy, to say the least. But thankfully, it didn't cost us. The rally continued, and Dozier capped it off.
You mentioned the series in Kansas City, and it really was. If you were a neutral observer and you were just being introduced to the game of baseball, you couldn't have asked for four better games between two very evenly matched teams. But you guys came into this homestand having not won consecutive games for nearly 3 weeks, hadn't won a series in a while. You're now sitting here in a situation with a chance to polish off a 6-1 homestand when your 31st game at Target Field. How critical was it when you looked at this stretch of games into the break to head into that All-Star break on a launching pad and try to find some of that momentum?
You know, I think you can make a lot of arguments about critical and the depth of that and whether it's accurate, and could a team, you know, kind of, you know, have a bad 10 days or 2 weeks before the break and still find a way to come out and have a good second half and get back in. And, of course, all those things can happen. But you're kind of looking at the psyche of your club. I think that, you know, after we had a little stretch there and we had gotten to 11 games over and we gave a lot of them back, and but somehow we were just kind of holding our own there for a while, treading water, if you will, and just picking up the pace even a little bit here this last homestand. I got a feeling it's going to leave these guys with a good taste in their mouth heading into the break, and hopefully they'll come back refreshed and ready to go.
Speaking of the break, you had an opportunity to be in Cincinnati as a part of Ned Yost's staff here in your first year as a manager, and you turned that down because of a variety of reasons.
Sure.
Explain a little bit, because it's a great honor, obviously, and certainly it's no slight to Ned that you chose not to be in uniform, but talk a little bit about that, because this is your first year, you know, balancing the time constraints of the very pressure-filled job you have.
It was very nice. You know, Ned, a former teammate of mine in Milwaukee for a long time, and to be extended the invitation, I wanted to make sure he knew how much I appreciated it. I took a couple days after he'd asked me and thought about it and talked to my wife about it. Obviously, I would never snub my nose at an all-star opportunity as a player, coach, manager. But logistically, my first year here, I thought the mental break was going to be important. I wanted to put my family first because of the fact that we're traveling to California on the Thursday after the break, and it would mean Cincinnati today, home Wednesday, California Thursday. And in terms of recharging, I don't think there would have been a lot there. So I passed, but it was great to be asked. Just timing wasn't the best for me this year or my family.
And really, this has been a family endeavor for the Molitors, hasn't it?
It really has. Destiny, the kids, and Blair, they've all been a big part of it. So it's been fun. We've enjoyed ourselves. I haven't driven them too crazy yet. And, in fact, I think my wife's on the radio later today going to talk about a little bit about some of the twins' wives things and stuff. So everyone's doing good.
There's nothing wrong with that. We'll take a break. Paul Molitor is here. When we come back, we've got ample topics to cover. We'll talk about Ryan O'Rourke's debut, the Miguel Sano effect, and the pitching rotation, and a whole lot more. If you'd like to join us, again, it's 877-388-9467 right here on your home for Twins Baseball.
Hi, this is Twins third baseman Trevor Plouffe. Imagine bases are loaded, it's full count, and who's coming in to pitch? Well, you could be with the Ultimate Twins Game Sweepstakes. One lucky fan will watch the game from their own private suite, throw out a first pitch, and hang out with me before the game on September 19th. Look for sweepstakes rules and entry forms wherever Sheboygan sausage is sold. Or text keyword Ultimate Twins to 24587. That's 24587. Don't forget to enter the Ultimate Twins Games from Sheboygan Sausage. I hope to see you on September 19th. Sheboygan.
Baseball season is finally here, and now is the time to check out DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of the Minnesota Twins. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. It's a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with injured players or poor performers. Just pick two pitchers and eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you can win huge cash prizes. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code MNTWINS to play for free. That's MNTWINS at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of the Minnesota Twins.
This is Dave St. Peter, president of the Minnesota Twins, on behalf of Minnesota Eye Consultants. Minnesota Eye is the preferred ophthalmology group of the Minnesota Twins and is a generous supporter of the Minnesota Twins Community Fund. I had my corrective eye surgery at Minnesota Eye, as have several of our players and support staff. If you have special eye care needs or wish to learn more about vision correction without glasses or contacts, contact Minnesota Eye Consultants. Go to MNEYE.com. For your eyes, do what the Twins do and see Minnesota Eye.
While a cow eats 25 pounds of hay each day, a Case IH round baler can bale 450,000 pounds of hay in a day. And while cattle have only one job to do, a Maxim Series tractor has 70 tools and attachments to help you do any job. Sure, cattle bring in the profits, but for every other job you need to get done, count on Case IH equipment. Visit your local Case IH dealer or caseih.com/livestock.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Now they're pointing at us. I think that means we have to talk. Paul Molitor in studio. It's the Paul Molitor Show. And I tell you what, Miguel Sano, he came up in Kansas City. We've talked at length about how natural he looks, how confident he looks in the batter's box. He's gotten some lessons, as everybody does, from guys like David Price along the way. But what kind of effect does his presence have in your lineup? And what has impressed you the most about Miguel's first 10 days in the big leagues?
Well, you know, I've been really happy for the Twins fans who have heard so much about our prospects for the last handful of years. And, you know, we've got a taste. Alex Meyer and Rosario and Buxton and Miguel now. He's come up more polished than I could have hoped for in terms of consistency of at-bats. You know, I'm not going to be one to tell you it's going to stay like that or he's not going to be going through some periods of adjustment at some point. But for the most part, even if he follows out, even if he follows up a strikeout, you know, with an at-bat where he gets maybe, you know, as you mentioned, David Price kind of schooled him a little bit, he seems like he comes back refreshed, the next one resets and has a good approach every time he goes up there. So we've seen the power. We've seen him use the whole field. We've seen him take his walks. He's going to strike out some, but that on-base percentage, it's not going to be 500. But so far, everything about it has made me feel comfortable to go ahead and leave him in that four-hole for now and see how it goes.
Yeah, his patience, ability to come from 0-2 and work a walk or to take a walk in a bases-loaded situation, you know, where a young kid might be eager to do a little too much. He's also been working very diligently defensively. He had the one game in the field. I know you've been working with him. I saw Joe working with him, Joe Vavra at first base. Gene's been around. And you do have Trevor Plouffe has a paternity situation coming up where
Correct.
He's going to have a baby. So he's going to see some field. How is that going for Miguel?
Well, you know, we try to put the time in with all our guys, especially the guys who aren't getting a lot of defensive work during the games. I don't know where Miguel's going to end up, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. Your personnel on your club can change, and who knows what's going to happen with injuries and free agency and all those things. So we'll spread him out. I love having Trevor at third. He's had a really good year defensively. There's going to be days when we can go ahead and put him over at first and give Joe a day to DH or a day off. But Miguel's worked hard at first. I think that's coming along okay. Still a work in progress. The outfield, instinct's pretty good, catching the ball. Moves better than people think. I think we've all kind of seen that to be true here over the first week or so. But, yeah, there's going to be a time when someone needs a blow, and hopefully he's got enough versatility where I can put him out there somewhere.
Does it change with all the shifting in terms of, I remember watching in his first game at third, and now suddenly he's over behind second base, mm-hmm. and maybe that's a position where on the field where he hasn't spent a lot of time. Has the game changed in that regard in terms of what we're asking of some of these positions?
Well, it is. I think that they shift more in the minor leagues now just because of they know that they need to prepare guys to do it, and plus hitters are showing those tendencies down there as well. You know, the other day, one of the days we had Miguel out there, you know, we took his grounders at third, we took his grounders at first, and then we stuck him out there behind second and had him range to some balls left and right. Talked to him about situations where he had to cover the bag on a ball hit to short. And, you know, he's a natural shortstop coming up. And I saw him play quite a bit of shortstop when he was young, actually. And so a middle of field shouldn't be too foreign to him.
It's like having a second batting eye out there if you put a guy that big behind second base. It's the Paul Molitor Show. We'll take a break. When we come back, turn our focus to the mound. This is the Paul Molitor Show. And Paul in studio for another couple of segments right here on your home for Twins Baseball.
Clunker out of the garage. By donating your vehicle through the Twins Community Fund, you're actually turning your car into new equipment and playing fields for thousands of youth baseball and softball players across Twins territory. From giving inner city youth access to the game to renovating that rundown baseball field in your hometown, your gift makes a huge difference. To learn more and make a donation, visit TwinsCommunityFund.org. That's TwinsCommunityFund.org.
Hey! Is that a faucet running?
Nope, that's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest.
It is?
Yeah. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink. The water comes straight from the forest to us, in fact.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
How do trees clean the air?
They soak up the dirty air on their leaves, branches, and trunks, which means clean air for us.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yep. But the forest does more than give us clean air and water. It gives us shade for hot days, birds to listen to, and trees to climb.
Wow. That's awesome. I didn't know how cool the forest could be. Hey, let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Plan your next big event at Target Field. With many unique spaces around the park, there's a perfect fit for your event. Contact a sales representative to start planning today. Get more information at twinsbaseball.com.
My name is Tom.
My name is Cindy.
We give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
We know our time and money are going to the right places.
We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
It's the Paul Molitor Show. A little style on that, on the like point it. Back in. There's a little flair to it. Paul Molitor here in studio, and we're chatting with the Twins skipper in advance of the final game of this homestand. Twins trying to wrap up a series with their division rivals, the Detroit Tigers, and head into the All-Star break in strong fashion here as they close out what has been a great home season in the first half. I want to talk about pitching. Ryan O'Rourke, lost in all the excitement of these crazy wins, You call up a 27-year-old rookie whose ERA was about 5.5 in Triple-A, and he comes out of the bullpen. He's not scared of anything. He sees a bunch of righties the first day, but you have to be happy with the way Ryan has responded to a chance he's been waiting and working for a long time.
Well, what's nice for me is that, you know, having been in our system for a long time, when we talk about names, I can call managers and pitching coaches and hitting coaches and get current reports, but I have familiarity with these guys. I've seen Ryan for a number of years in our system. You know, typical left-hander, but you can't deny his success against left-handed batters in particular and throughout his minor league career. And we were just looking to tweak there. You know, Aaron kind of hit a little bit of a speed bump. We still like Aaron Thompson a lot. We sent him back down, and Ryan's come up and given us three really good appearances so far. He's not scared. He's going to go at people. He's got a really deceptive breaking ball that he uses to the lefties. And he's gotten righties out so far up here. That hasn't been his MO so much, but it gives you confidence to get him in there for more than just one hitter at a time.
Yeah, if a hockey game breaks out, you got a defenseman waiting right there on the blue line for you. Your other lefty, Brian Dunsing, started really with the blowout loss in Milwaukee where he came in and he faced the minimum through three innings. He's starting to look very much like the Brian Dunsing that we've seen in past years.
Well, you know, he's had enough success at this level, too, to know that it's for him a matter of time of getting back on track. You can see body language, confidence, not questioning pitch selection, all those type of things. He's coming in. He's got us out of some jams. Yesterday was that case. He's got his fastball up there in velocity. It's got a little dive to it. He's getting rollover ground balls. His changeup's been good. I just think he's pitching with a lot more confidence than he was early. Between being hurt a little bit and going through a rough time, it seems like he's really righted the ship. And he's going to be a guy that we can have more confidence bringing in later in the game when we're trying to protect leads.
Rotation wise, with the All-Star break, you can kind of shuffle things up, and it gives you a chance to kind of line that up the way you want coming out of the break. Is that something you and Neil have discussed?
Well, we have at length over the past couple of weeks. We've looked at everything from who could use the longest blow, so to speak, and also matchups of some of our starters and their track records, not only against the Angels and the A's, but also how they've pitched in those ballparks. And I think probably by the end of the day, we'll make that clear. I'm pretty sure that right now we're going to have Santana coming out of the break. He's going to be the freshest guy. So, we'll try to get that out so everyone has a feel of which direction we're going to go once we hit the West Coast.
Trevor May, we spoke last week and throughout the entirety of the situation since Santana's return that is a situation you'd reassess at the break. Where does that stand now between you and Terry, the organization, in terms of his role moving forward?
Well, unless something changes here over the break, our discussions this week before Terry headed out to Cincinnati, he'll be out there for the Futures game today, was that I was kind of hoping for some situations to get May in there a little bit later in the game to see how he'd respond and how he would do in back-to-back days and things like that. It really hasn't happened yet. There's always been conversation about would it be more valuable for him and for our team to stay in a rotation in case we needed somebody down the road. Personally, I'd like to see him stay out there for a bit in the pen and see, you know, where he fits in and what he can do for us, and maybe just deepening our right-handed arms out of the bullpen. I think he'd be a guy that wouldn't take long to get back into rotation mode if we needed it.
Well, every time you pitch him, Brian hits a game-winning home run, so you've got that going for you so far for Trevor May.
Two appearances, two innings, two wins. I think he kind of likes that gig.
You got a vulture hanging in his locker
there
yet?
You go.
You're going to need one. We're going to go to the phones quickly for Gary out in Sydney, Montana. Gary, go Eagles. How you doing today?
Hey, doing good. I'm surprised you know about the Eagles.
Everybody grew up in Montana knows about the Sydney Eagles.
Chris doesn't miss anything.
My boys wrestle for him, too. So, my comment is about Brian Dozier. I really get a kick out of him because when the Twins drafted him in the ninth round, and his tools were just great as average, but he had good numbers, and then here he is. So it tickles me. And that's all.
Well, he's a rare player. You know, he's certainly not the guy that we envisioned in the minor leagues, who was more of a spray the ball around, you know, real aggressive base runner, a little moxie on the defensive side, certainly intelligence in how he plays. But he's kind of morphed into a guy who's found his power side, which is certainly the pull side. I think he punched a ball in the right field on Verlander the other day. I think it was his first hit to right field in about a month. So, you know, he's going to strike out some, but when you look at his body of work, production out of the leadoff spot is just through the roof, you know, driving in runs and scoring runs. He's been our most valuable player over the first 80-plus games here. And, you know, last year he got a little run down. You know, the second half wasn't as good as the first half, so I'm always trying to be careful, but he's a guy who really wants to play every day. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, even when you don't feel like you have your swing, find a way to help your team win. And I think he's taken on that mentality.
Yeah, he was a guy, great makeup, was injured his last year at Southern Miss when they went to the World Series. And we've got a piece we ran in his rookie year with Ray Smith talking about him when he was down playing shortstop in E-Town. Ray saying, well, he might end up being a second baseman, but he sure does a lot of nice things on the field. Yeah. And boy, Ray looked into the crystal ball on that one and got a pretty clear vision, but I don't think even he saw this one coming. We'll take a final timeout. Gary, we appreciate the call. We're back to talk about today's contest and talk about the Twins lineup when we return to the Paul Molitor Show on your home for Twins baseball.
How easy is it to pop into your Quick Trip for the things you need every day? Well, guess what? Now at Quick Trip, you can also pick up fresh, all-natural chicken breast for your family dinner, premium lean ground beef for a cookout, everything from boneless center-cut pork chops to Clements brats. Look for our new selection of frozen seafood, including shrimp, plus tilapia, cod, and salmon fillets. We've got the potatoes and salads, too. Everything to make it a meal. Premium meats and seafood. Now at Quick Trip.
Want to make your home a more comfortable place, but don't think you can afford a top-brand heating and cooling system? Well, Carrier has the right solutions for every budget. When you turn to your Carrier expert, they'll show you our full lineup of best-in-class home comfort systems and help you pick the one that best fits into your home budget. From our value-priced Comfort Series to our top-performing Infinity system, at Carrier, we've made excellence more affordable than ever. Because in this economy, who couldn't use a little more comfort? Contact the experts at 1-800-CARRIER or carrier.com.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Well, here we go, our final segment of the Paul Molitor Show. This has been about as upbeat. We got a lot of rhythm on the other side of the glass. Not so much on this side of the glass, but a lot of rhythm on the other side of the glass. When we look back at your opening day lineup, very different. That was the lineup. One of the guys no longer in the organization. One's at AAA, one's at AA. Santana's not at the top of the order anymore. You can never predict it, but how has that process been for you in terms of watching the ever-changing nature of your 25-man roster and of your daily lineup? You've only had four times where you had the same lineup in consecutive days.
Well, it's been challenging to try to, you know, mix and match the best that we can every day to try to not only build confidence but give your team a chance to win. We talked a lot about it in spring training and even early stage of the season, and this team had a chance to be one that is going to be under constant change until we find the right mix. You know, here we are at the halfway point, and we, as you talked about, have a definitely a different look about us than we did coming out of camp. So not surprising. You know, we had the prospects on the radar, guys that were hurt last year that needed to play, particularly Buxton and Sano. Rosario caught our eye. You know, I've known him a long time, but his spring training was really good. And I like the direction we're going. You know, we're getting athletic and combination of guys who can run and guys who can hit over the fence and guys who can play defense. You know, it feels like it's getting better, and that's the key point, that as we've made changes, it seems like our team seems to be getting better.
And the thing is, as you've made changes, the team has not had a hiccup. I mean, not every team mentally is composed to do that. And this group in particular seems to ride that wave pretty well.
Well, you know, you're going to go through ups and downs with your pitching, with your offense, with your base running, defense. You know, we've weathered most storms fairly well. We really haven't had that long drought. You know, we had a couple periods where we lost, I don't know, 7 out of 10 or whatever it might have been. But for the most part, and I give our starting pitching the most credit in terms of that, we just have been able to stay away from those long streaks. And also the fact that leadership, we've talked about a bunch this year. When you have guys that are able to rally the troops after you either have a tough loss or a game where you didn't play particularly well, it seems we come back refreshed and ready to put a better game on the field the next day, and that's been a big part for us also.
I've been impressed, Paul, not only with the ability to be upset that you lost but then flush it by the time you get out of the shower and worry about the next day, but also not to get too high after a win and come back and hit the reset button the next day too.
It's part of developing players is to understand that when you have those kind of losses that you do kind of replay it and you learn from it, and hopefully by the time, if not when you get out of the shower, by the next morning you're able to go forward. But the same way with the win, you know, you want to remember that feeling and maybe something that you did to contribute to that win, but you know that each day stands on its own and you got to come back ready to play.
And today stands with Kyle Gibson atop the mound. He was the one guy when the rotation got tweaked was going to get two more starts.
Right.
Your thoughts on his first half?
I'm always feeling really good about our team when he pitches. It's been good. He's had a couple games where command and pitch count gets up there and those type of things. I think his stuff is so good that sometimes it's just tough for him to command it in the zone. And if guys are patient and they can foul pitches off, he's going to get his pitches up there. But, you know, guys don't like to face him. He's an uncomfortable at bat. That was the one thing that kind of pushed me to the decision here heading into the break. To have Kyle get that extra start, I thought that was important for our team.
Lineup-wise, what are you looking at today with 4 days off coming up for your
Well,
guys?
It's not exactly the same. I'm going to give Fryer a chance to catch Kyle today. Other than that, we're going to have the same cast of characters. You know, Eric had a really nice first game for us coming off a really good first half down there in Rochester. So just hoping that we do things like we have been, you know, pitch well, compete. Grind out our at-bats, try to find a way to score some runs off Green today, and hopefully Kyle has another good day.
Paul, good stuff. We appreciate it, as always. Paul Molitor, guest in studio here on the Paul Molitor Show, and if you missed any part of this, go ahead and dig around on our website at twinsbaseball.com, and you can go ahead and find the replay and relive the last 30 minutes here. Again, the Twins taking on the Tigers today. It's the final day before the All-Star break. Twins trying to win a series, trying to go 5-1, pardon me, 6-1 on this final homestand before the All-Star break. For Paul Molitor, I'm Chris Atterbury. Stick around at noon today on these stations. Corey Provis has Inside Twins, then the Twins and the Tigers across our network right here on your home for Twins Baseball.